It's Alicia here. Welcome to Breakaway Tuition's second podcast. Today, we're going to have a chat about transitioning your children to high school. Last week, I was having a chat to Kate about transitioning children to kindergarten. Obviously, kindergarten is a massive transition, especially for children that haven't been outside the home environment before. We suddenly expect that they are able to cope with change of routine and go to school with a big group of children for a whole day, and obviously their emotional needs aren't always met in that classroom environment as well. So it's really important that you're hypersensitive to the changes that you might see occur in your younger child when they do start kindergarten. And we had a discussion about starting that transition early on in that summer holiday. So either last week or this week, it would have been the ideal time, or it still is the ideal time, for you to start getting your children's morning routine sorted and afternoon routine sorted as well, so they can get used to that transition. Year 7 students, they've already been in that routine. They have a morning routine, they have an afternoon routine. It's just the environment for Year 7 students that will change. Although people don't think it's as big a change as kindergarten, for some students it really is a really large and difficult transition to try and make, particularly because in year 6 they are used to being the big fish in the pond, and all of a sudden they're back down to being the smallest in that school environment. And high schools are huge. The high school that I taught at had upwards of 900 kids in the school. So if you've come from a school that only has 100, 200 kids to 900 kids, your child is going to feel really out of place in that environment. Year 7 can be also a really turbulent time for children. It's not only a new school, but they have to renegotiate friendship groups as well. And it's always at a time where they're really struggling to define who they are. They're either just entering puberty or they've already started puberty in the years prior to finishing primary school. And they're having to negotiate peers and peer pressure and group problems and different classrooms and different teachers. So it can be really confronting for students or children in that case as well. And again, it's all new. You know, they've gone from one teacher and having a one homeroom or one classroom in which they're in during the day, where their bag is outside of the classroom or inside of the classroom, they don't have to worry about pulling their bag from one place to another, to all of a sudden they have 7 to 8 teachers that all teach different subjects. And not only do they teach different subjects, they have different teaching methods and teaching styles and personalities, and they might be slightly different class combinations that your children are then having to negotiate around all of that as well. Particularly if your child might struggle with getting on with different personalities and different teaching methods, they might feel really lost when they hit year 7. And like I said, a whole school is huge. To have to navigate every single classroom in your day, where potentially every lesson you need to pick your bag up and walk from one classroom to another classroom, there's going to be massive anxiety around that as well. So, you know, a little tip for kids starting high school would be for them to have a map of the school to help them negotiate. And it doesn't have to obviously be a massive map that you pull out and you find in coordinates on. It could be just as small as a school diary. Most Year 7 schools give out school diaries to kids, and they have in them the little school map. Although sometimes maps aren't the best way to try and find their way around, it will give them a little bit of an indication about where they are. The other thing that you can do for your child is empower them, you know, have a chat to them and tell them that it's okay for them to ask other students and other teachers where classrooms are. Lots of schools nowadays have peer support programs, and these programs are like buddy programs that you have in the younger primary school years. They're generally a group of 12 kids that are placed together from different schools in that year seven class or in that year seven year group, and they have 1 to 2 leaders or peer support leaders that are in year 12 that are supposed to help them navigate that new process. I know that there have been some schools in the area that have moved away from that peer support system over the last few years, but I personally think that peer support is a really, really strong system to have running in a school because it does let your child know that they're not alone. And similar to buddies, where they might meet them during a transition day prior to starting, the year seven students should have met peer support leaders prior to starting as well. So they should have 2 people at least in that school of new people that they can go to if they need specific help finding their way around. Most schools, when they first start year seven on the first day, will actually have a peer support program run in that first session as well. So it's really important that you remind your son and daughter or daughter that they do have someone to go to and someone that can ask for help. Obviously, there's lots of students that will struggle with going up to a strange adult and asking them for help because they're all scary too. You know, not only are they feeling small against all the other year groups in the school, but the teachers are really intimidating when you've moved from a primary school setting into a high school setting. I mentioned earlier that kids now have to take their bag everywhere with them as well. I think it's really important for parents to monitor how heavy their kids' bags are. Obviously, it's expected that they have their books for that day in their bag, but a lot of year seven kids end up in the trap where they put all their books that they need for every single subject in their bag and it will weigh them down, and it's actually really bad for their backs. And obviously they've got to walk at some schools quite a large distance or up quite a number of stairs. I remember at Barrow High we had to walk up 3 or 4 flights of stairs to get to English, so it was a really far walk with a heavy school bag. So that's something to keep in mind as well. For the first day, you don't really need to have every single book in your kid's bag. I think that it's important just to have one book in your kid's bag for the first day. Obviously, for the first day, your child's not going to know what classes they're going to have, and a lot of that first day is just finding their way around the school and things. And that is why year 7 and 12 go back before any of the other years as well. It's to give the year 7s a little bit of a chance to settle in and find their way around the school before there are more kids within that school environment too. With having to carry your bag around the school all day, I also think it's really important for you to highlight to your child that they do need to take care of their belongings. So unlike primary school, where teachers might go and pick up all the bits and pieces that kids have left behind and try and find the owners and everything, that doesn't necessarily happen in the high school environment. Particularly if your child will be taking a laptop or a phone or an iPod to school, I think that you really need to talk to them about looking after their belongings and not leaving these things in their bags, as well as purses, money, jewellery. Unfortunately, kids see this as a really great opportunity to go through kids' bags, particularly the younger kids' bags, as horrible as it sounds. It doesn't happen in every school, but I have seen it happen time and time again. So I think that having that chat with your child about taking their belongings into the classroom with them, you know, pop your phone in your pencil case, obviously making sure it's off, but making sure that they're not leaving these expensive items in their bag and being a target for theft. With laptops at the moment, computers and computer equipment do appear to be coming across on lots and lots of school lists of something that they do need to have. In my opinion, having a laptop that can access the internet quickly, that can access a Word document or those types of processing skills, so PowerPoint, Excel, Word document, that's all that you need on a computer for a child in a school setting. A lot of schools were using Lenovo for a few years there, where it also had OneNote, but now schools, and especially DET schools, they're automatically signed up with Google. And so Google Docs Online is free and it saves online and they can access it everywhere. So if you don't have the money to purchase these additional programs once you've got your school computer, then I'd definitely look into using those online programs that are free for that. They don't need to be able to do lots and lots of different things on the computer, really. A lot of the computer work is used for independent learning, where they have to find information out online using different websites and things. I think that with online learning, it's also a really great period of time to have a chat to your child about plagiarism. So they should have been told about plagiarism and plagiarizing in years 5 and 6, even younger years than that, where everything that they produce for an assignment has to be their own work. I think it's really, really important to revisit this with your child before they start their first assignment for year 7. It's really, really easy just to jump on Google and find a piece of information and copy and paste it straight across into your own Word document. Lots of kids don't even reword these documents, and lots of kids don't even record where they've got that information from. The reason why I bring this up is because I've seen lots and lots and lots of kids, and not just in year 7, but even year 11 students that have plagiarized work. And it's really obvious. As a teacher, if you're marking someone's work and it's clearly not their words, we just need to type the first, even 4 words into Google and it'll come directly up. And I would hate for children to be missing out on marks because they haven't worded and thought about their things in their own words. Talking about assignments and things, I think that it's really important for you to have a chat to your child, particularly with assignments and things, about the fact that we assume when they get to high school that they can read and write and that they don't have any issues with that. And we assume that we know that kids know how to add and subtract and divide and times using a calculator and using one of those scientific calculators that they're expected to use in high school as well. We just make that assumption. So if your child, and this isn't just for your child, obviously, if your child struggles with something like that, you really want to try and have a chat to particularly your child's year advisor about these issues so that your child's not humiliated. I think that's really important that we want to support your child as much as possible, but obviously we have no idea who your child is. So teachers in high schools will have, depending on the periods of time that they're teaching for, but if you have 6 periods in one day, that means that the teacher will have 6 different classes in one day. And obviously that ranges from year 7 to 12. So the teacher might not have the time to get to know your child as well as a primary school teacher has time to get to know your child. We sort of look more at that skills based. If we can see a child demonstrating the skill that we're looking for, then that's basically, sometimes, not basically, but sometimes it's the only interaction that your child might have with that high school teacher. So the dynamic that's in that high school classroom and with that high school teacher will be quite different. Your child might also find that they are put into a class that are really rowdy and really loud. And so if the teacher is spending a lot of time trying to calm down the rest of the class to get some work done, they might not notice the quiet child or the child that is struggling unless we're giving that information. I wouldn't have any clue whether a child came into my classroom with a literacy difficulty, so difficulty with reading or writing something down, unless someone tells me, or unless I can see, obviously, from the work that they start producing for me. But in that first instance, I'm not going to know. One thing that teachers enjoy doing in high school is doing the snake around the classroom. So if they're reading content from a book, they will still do the snake around the classroom with each child reading one sentence. So obviously, if your child can't read well or as well as you think that your child should be reading when they start year seven, that's going to put them in the corner straight away and make them a target for bullying within the classroom, which is not what we want and is never the aim of the teacher doing that. The aim of the teacher reading around the classroom is to simply get the kids to read and understand the information, but sometimes we're not giving that information. The school that I went to, or the school that I was teaching at, when I was a Year 7 advisor, I had met with the different teachers from the primary schools prior to my year group starting, and I was able to get some information from them about each child that was entering the year group. But I was one person and my year group was 189 students, and it was up to me to look after them. I know that lots of schools don't do that. Lots of schools don't have that chat with the primary school teachers previously as to what the child's strengths are and weaknesses are and where they're at. We don't even get that information from their past school reports and things. All we get is a list of names within that class, and if it's a mixed ability class or if it's a top class, etc., etc., that's generally all the information that your child's new teacher will get. So if your child does have a difficulty or if there is some issue there that needs to be raised, please, please, please make sure that you find the contact for your Year 7 year advisor. Every single school should have a year advisor or a year coordinator, and please contact them and have a chat with them about what your child's needs are, particularly at the beginning, you know, week one, week two. Make sure that you've done that straight up. If that information is given across to the teacher, we can then tell their other teachers as well. And so that information should be shared within the teachers within the school. So we all know if we have that child in our classroom, these are the things that we really need to help that child with. But we can't help them and we can't offer you any assistance if you don't actually give the school a call. Another issue that you might find coming up is your child's want for a folder and paper instead of books. Please just follow your school's guidelines. If your school wants your child to have specific books, make sure you have specific books for them. If your child's school says it's okay for them to do it on spare paper, I'd just be really wary of that. Folders, although they look really cool and they look awesome and you can organize your information in them, etc., etc., they break. Lots and lots of kids end up with broken folders and then their work goes missing. So it's a lot easier just to have all of their information in a school book. Even if your school is really heavy on technology, still take a school book. It's really important that you keep your child continually writing and writing with a pen and paper. The HSE is still done with pen and paper, although NAPLAN has changed slightly in the last few years where they're starting to use computer technology for that. The HSC is still with pen and paper, so you really want to make sure that your child is still writing and practicing their writing skills and not just walking away with that. All different schools will have different homework policies. They might tell your child that they will have homework from every single class. They might say that it's expected that when your child doesn't have homework, they are doing study notes and revision things from what they've done in the classroom. You really need to follow your school's policy on homework. Homework is really important, particularly for high school kids where they do have 7 or 8 different subjects. There is no way that a child can remember all of the information that they've been taught in those subjects for assignments and for different exams if they haven't been revising their work. It's particularly important that you get your child into the habit of revising their work so they know what areas that they're struggling with and also what areas that they're feeling confident with before they do an exam, and seek help. If your child's really, really struggling, again, try and contact the school and have a chat to the school or the year advisor about their struggles and what they're struggling with. Or you can also contact us, obviously, at Breakaway Tuition, where we can have a chat to you about how we can support your child as well. It's really important to remember that we're all here as a big community. You know, it's not us versus the school or anything like that. We are simply here to support you and support your child in making sure that everyone's comfortable and confident in that classroom environment. And if you don't tackle these issues when they're in year seven and when they start in year seven, it will just start snowballing, and sometimes you can't pull them back once they've started that snowball. It's really hard to get them the help that they need, and it's really hard to try and get them the confidence that they require to keep moving forward as well and continue to try. I also said something about friendship groups. This is a big one. Obviously, in year five and six, you see your child moving between different friendship groups, and there's issues occurring in those friendship groups and things as well. When they hit year seven, it's really a start again, in a way. Your child doesn't have to stay with the same group that they had at school if they don't want to. It's their opportunity to mix with kids from different schools and meet different people that they might just get along with a bit better. Obviously, with that, it's going to be really turbulent. It's going to be massively turbulent. And you just need to be aware that, you know, when teens are trying to define who they are, there are going to be significant friendship issues. But again, if there are issues and if they're occurring online or via mobile phones and all of these new different technologies that we have now that these issues continually occur on, you really need to make sure that you are letting the school know that these issues are occurring. Otherwise, again, nothing can be done about those issues. The last thing I want you to think about is being there for your child as they transition into year seven, and particularly talking about their day. Often when kids get to high school, they switch off and we no longer have those really great conversations about our kids regarding how their day was and what they learnt in that day. I think it's really, really important that we continue that when they hit year seven and make it something that is normal. So your child will come to you if they need help for whatever reason, particularly at dinner time. Maybe share around the table what everyone did during the day, things like what they enjoyed, what they found slightly difficult, and even troubleshoot with them what things they could do to make the things that they found the most difficult a bit easier. That can really help your child feel like you're there for them and feel connected to you. There's going to be lots of new anxieties that are brought up with this new start, so it's really important that you keep that door open and that you continue those conversations. Again, if you have any questions to ask us regarding this podcast or things that you want to know, things that we didn't cover regarding year seven, just send us an email, chat to us on social media, and we'll get back to you soon.